Announcements coming your way. Yeah. Hey friends, it's Heather Avis here. Okay, before we get into this episode, I have a few announcements. That was for those of you who love when I sing talk. First and foremost, the Lucky Few Foundation, guess what? We are going to be hitting the road for 5 weeks. That's right. I've talked about it here and there a little bit, but all five of the Avises are going to be on the road. One of those stops is going to be in New Orleans at the Down Syndrome Congress Convention, and we are so excited. That's June 25th and 26th. Hey, if you're going to be at the convention, come say hi. Come find us. We're going to be in the exhibit hall, and actually, our girl Val Schleter, producer extraordinaire of the one and only The Lucky Few podcast, she's going to be there for a couple days, and then we're going to be there on that last day. I'm going to be signing books. We're going to be taking pictures. We're going to be hearing stories. We're so excited to meet you if you're going to be there. And if you want to learn more about how you can get involved with this tour, we still need so much help in so many ways. Head over to theluckyfewfoundation.org to learn more. Okay, announcement number two. Guess what? I have a new children's book coming out August 9th. It is called Everyone Belongs, and it is a story about two sisters who create a show, and other people wonder, can they be a part of the show? And together they create a show where, you guessed it, everyone belongs. So it is available right this very moment for pre-order, and you can go anywhere you order books and pre-order it today. Every book pre-ordered helps in a huge way for the publishers to know if anyone's interested in this book. So if you're interested in this book, if you're excited to bring into your kids' life a book that teaches them that, in fact, everyone belongs, and you want that book in your kids' classrooms and all the spaces, go ahead and pre-order today. You can also go to heatheravis.com/everyonebelongs to learn more. Okay, whew, deep breath. Third and last announcement. This is for all the mamas in the space. Hey, mamas in the space, say hey. Hey. Do you need a respite? Yes. Yes, I do. Thank you so much for asking. Great. Well, guess what? This August, the 26th, 27th, and 28th is going to be our first ever Lucky Mamas Retreat in Southern California. It's going to be in San Diego County, hosted by myself and Liz Plakta from Ruby's Rainbow. And we are bringing our flagship Lucky Mamas Retreat to the beautiful Oaks Retreat Center in Ramona, California, which is just outside San Diego. This is an all-inclusive retreat. You show up Friday evening. You don't have to worry about one thing until you go home Sunday. And then hopefully you still don't have to worry because you're so refreshed and ready to face the week. It's going to be such an amazing time. You're going to get to be there with other lucky mamas. We're going to get to connect, swap stories, reflect, relax. You have time on your own, time together, really whatever you want to do. We're going to feed you good food and delicious beverages, and you're going to really have an opportunity to create long-lasting friendships. Sounds amazing, right? Well, guess what? We have 5 spots open, only 5 spots left. If you would like to come to our Southern California Lucky Mamas Retreat, you can go to heatheravis.com/events, learn more, and sign up there. All right, now on to our episode.
Started. Test.
Yeah.
Okay, ladies. Remember one time we went to the DSDN?
I do.
I was there.
Yeah?
Yes.
Do you remember what it stands for? DSDN? What does it stand for?
Oh my gosh. She's quizzing us. I love that. That's not intimidating. All of a sudden, I'm like, this is why we don't test our children. This is why we teach them. Down Syndrome Diagnosis Network.
That's right. You got it, Heather. Ding, 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 ding. We went to the Down Syndrome Diagnosis Network's retreat last fall. And I am so excited for us to get into this episode. We talked a lot about success and what it means to different Well, it was all moms. It was all moms there. Mm-hmm. So different moms. So enough of this jibber jabber.
Y'all.
Stop of this.
Does no one ever. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. I like it. I'm going to start saying it.
Enough of this jibber jabber. Let's shout some worth and shift some narratives for people with Down syndrome. Today, we're sharing interviews we did at DSDN last fall. And asking the question, what does success mean to you? Welcome to the Lucky Few podcast. Okay, so last week's episode was on employment with Down syndrome, and I think this is a good transition into talking about the pressure that we as parents can put on ourselves or put on our kids to be an independent adult, and this conversation that we have around what does it look like for us to see our parenting as successful? What does it look like for us to see our children with Down syndrome as successful? And where do we get it right? And where do we get it wrong?
It's a big one for me, you guys, success. This is like stuff I've worked out with my therapist. Mm-hmm. You know, there's these measuring sticks that we have that are just handed to us that say what success is. This is how you measure it. This is what it looks like. This is when you're there or not. And they're all lies and they're all hurting us. And so I'm like, let's just smash and destroy those measuring sticks. And then the question remains, what is success?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And how do you do that? And so it's something that I don't know. I'm figuring out constantly, and different scenarios bring me back to like, oh wait, I'm actually measuring this with a very toxic measuring stick. Mm-hmm. Okay. The whole process of let's undo that. And then what is it? What is success? And I know for me as an author, it's like, it's not just the number of books that are bought. It's like the people who have been impacted. And then it's like, well, no, like literally the number measures success or not, but that's not the whole picture. That's a piece of the picture. It's right. Exhausting. It's exhausting.
Well, especially I think another layer of that is the social media aspect.
Too. Oh, totally.
Which is so new to us really, if we think about it in the grand scheme of life and time and everybody, like we're kind of having to work through that. Even like being everyday moms who post on Instagram, well, there's more popular everyday moms who post on Instagram, you know? And so what does that mean? Like I'm shouting the worth of my child, but not as much as this person who has 200,000 followers. Oh man, what does that mean? You know, I feel like it's gotten a little out of hand, but you know, it's a constant check, but it's so wild because now that pressure is more, and we do unintentionally put that on our kiddos, you know, and how well they're doing, what we can brag about, what we can be happy about, what we can measure, how well they're doing, how well we're parenting.
Well, and even as soon as they come home, it's like, here's the milestones. Here's how when they need to hit them. Here's how this works. If they've hit them, this is great. If not, there's reason for concern. And then that goes all the way through school. This is what means that your child is successful. We compare them to on test scores, on IEPs, on progress, all these things. And I don't have the answer. I just think it's been helpful for me raising my kids to have a clearer picture of what success isn't. You know, like to help me understand what it is.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just to set the scene here, I walked around DSDN and just went up to random moms and asked this question of what does success for your child mean to you? And I think that a lot of what came up, and I think we'll hear this in this episode, is how often our Down syndrome community raises up these amazing people with Down syndrome who are doing unique things. And then we start to believe that the only successful people with Down syndrome are the ones who can drive, are the ones who have full-time jobs, who live independently, who are, you know, like, you know, running marathons or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And how do we adjust that, that dial so that we have a healthy vision of what it means for our child to be a success, to be successful in their lives.
Yeah, I love it. And I think it's a lifelong journey. I think I'm only 14 years in with Macy, but this is going to be a thing that we figure out for the whole life of being a parent, and what an opportunity for growth. as a human. So I am excited for everyone to hear this. I'm so grateful for everyone who participated in it. Before we do that, I'm going to read a review because this is one way to measure success.
Yes.
Oh dear. So we really appreciate when you guys leave reviews because we are here for you and it's good to know how it's going. So this person, Jay Jess B, says, so informative and fun. My family is new to Down syndrome and I look forward to this podcast coming out each week because I always learn something new. Thank you for leading the charge and shifting the narrative and inspiring me to do the same. Well, JJSB, welcome to the community. I'm excited. I want to know more about you. Send us an email, hello@theluckyfewpodcast.com, with a picture of your family and tell us more. I feel like I want you to fill out a bio. Thank you though for listening. So grateful to know that we've been helpful for you here at the podcast. If you are a listener right now and you haven't left a review yet, you can review the show at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast, and then maybe we'll read it out loud next week. We really appreciate all of your support always, friends. We love you guys so much. That's right. All right. Should we get to it?
Let's do it. Let's jump over. Let's listen to these interviews. Okay. All right. I'm at the Rockin' Moms Retreat on day 2, and I am walking around and asking people, what is your definition of success for your child with Down syndrome? So I'm here with Erin. Erin, would you introduce yourself and tell us the name of your child?
Yes. Hi, my name is Erin Martin and my daughter's name is Genevieve and she's 2 years old.
Yeah. And the question I am asking is, how do you define success? What does that mean to you and your family when you think about Genevieve right now and in the future?
I think right now for Genevieve's success, I think it just means giving her everything that we're able to give her to succeed at her highest level that she's at right now and just seeing her learning and growing every day. And I see that success in her all the time. So that's been great for right now. And then in the future, I mean, who really knows? Because she's still growing into her own person. She's only 2. So I think, you know, in the future, success would just be, you know, that she's happy, that she's doing something that she loves, that she's bringing life and light to people around her, which I believe will not be a problem at all. I think that'll be something that comes naturally to her. And because she just does it all the time now, even though she's only 2 years old. So
I love that. You know that Daniel Tiger song? Try your best. Your best is the best for you. I love that song.
Awesome. Thank you for asking me.
Thank you, Erin. I appreciate it. My question is, how do you define success for your kid? And I don't even know if success is the word that I'm looking for, but like, how do you decide or how do you talk to yourself about it? Like, this is what it means for my kid to be growing and thriving and doing their best. And what does that mean to you? And maybe even like in the future, what does it mean for your kid to be successful? Tell us your name. Okay. And you can just say your first name.
My name's Allison and my daughter's name is Bernadette and we call her Birdie and she was born in 2017. So she's almost 4. And we just had her IEP for her second year of preschool the other day. And they asked us like, do you have any concerns? And we really don't have concerns when we compare Bernadette to Bernadette. Which I think is my answer to your question is when I compare Birdie to where she was yesterday, a week ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, she is making progress. She's making progress on her own time. And some things she makes massive progress in, like right now, her communication is taking off. And so I'm able to really hold on to those moments and see those as her successes. And other things, she's not there yet. She's not potty trained. She has no interest in potty training. And so instead of comparing her to other kids with Down syndrome or other neurotypical kids, I just look at her and say, you know, this is what she's doing. She is growing every day. And that helps me know that what we're doing as her parents is the right thing for her.
Yeah, I think that's so wise and so hard. It's so hard to have that perspective. I'm even thinking about my son's growth on the, my son on the growth chart is like, I mean, he's like, he's below everything, but he's on an upward movement. And that's what his pediatrician says. He is on ACE's growth chart. And as long as he's moving upward, then he's growing. And that's what it is. ACE's pace. So thank you for sharing that. Like, what is best for Birdie? Yeah. And also, Birdie is the best name in the world. Okay, what about you, ladies? One of you want to go? Okay. All right.
Okay. Hi, I'm Allison, and I have a daughter, Clara, and she is 3 years old. And we've always just embraced the Clara can and just celebrating every day, just celebrating Clara and all the little milestones that she makes every day and the progress. And so for us, we've always just, it's just Clara, and Clara's going to do it on her own timeline, and Clara can do whatever she wants to do when she needs to do it. We've been through a journey. We've had open heart surgery. We're born with a club foot. We spent extra time in the hospital. So for her, her journey's been a little bit different. She's 3 and she's not walking yet. But a year ago, we were just learning to sit up and didn't know how to crawl. And now we're getting around everywhere, but it's all on her own timeline. And it's just, you know, it's just her. She's the only kiddo at our school in a wheelchair, but it's totally awesome and totally fine because it's just her. And that's where she is at. And she's successful every single day with all the progress that she's making. She started school. We had our first transition IEP meeting from being a 3-year-old from ECI to now rocking it in an elementary public school. And so it's great to see all the growth, even from just last year to this year and even in this last month, because some of the goals in the beginning, she already met. So they had to be tweaked and like aimed higher because she's already met them. So it's pretty remarkable, and it's just all in her own time, and it's totally great. Clara time, that's what we say. So thank you.
Yeah, Clara time, it's good. And this is the conversation that I was just having with these ladies before we started recording, of like how easy it is, especially right, you know, we're recording this at Rocking Moms Retreat, and how easy it is when you're around other parents of kids with Down syndrome to start comparing your kid to where everybody else is at that pace, because you've learned how to not compare your kid to their typical peers. But dang, it's really hard when it's like everybody else who's 3 is doing this particular thing, and like getting yourself in the mindset of like, what is my kid's pace, and how am I going to celebrate, and how am I going to like be fully present for the joy of their progress.
Every journey is just different. Every journey is unique. Every journey is special to every kiddo because everyone is an individual, and no two people are the same or alike. And that's what makes us different and wonderful in every way.
I love that. Clara's time. Yeah, Clara time. Clara time. All right.
It'll be Amber time.
Okay, Amber, you ready?
Yeah, I think so. I had got a warm up with everybody else. I'm Amber Rojas, and I'm from Texas. Early on, I think that's something that comparison is, we hear all the time, obviously, no matter what birth group you're in. And someone early on told me that the comparison is the thief of joy. And it's, I'm going to cry. I always do. But it's so true. And when you're comparing your kid all the time, it takes away what they are doing. And we need to celebrate even inch stones, right? Like we milestones is what we learn. And then we learn, you know, it's just, you know, just waking up and just letting them do who they are. And you talked about defining their success, and I don't think I can define her success. So we're letting her define her own success. And we do that every day just to support her to be who she is. And she's teaching us what it is like to have Down syndrome. And I'm like, I am so thankful to be able to have the front row seat of her life and just to cheer her on in what she does. So I will let her, you know, define her success, and I don't.
We've got people walking away in tears here.
We're just crying. You know, I've cried 100 times since I've been here, and I'm going to cry a little bit more, but yeah, that's my answer.
Let her define her success. It's going on a poster.
T-shirt.
Yes.
You guys, you're all 3 so wise. I think I should just have you take over the podcast when we go on vacation. Call you 3 up. Take it on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This has been lovely. Such a good conversation.
like us here in Denver. And just, I don't know, it's just, it's nice to be with people that really understand your journey and have walked a similar path, because all of our paths are different, but it just feels so great to be united in the crazy times that we're in, and just to be able to be together and have all that fellowship is just, it just, it fills my cup. It just like, it energizes me, and it's just, it's awesome. It's amazing. And, you know, DSDN has just been there since the start with me. You know, I had a prenatal diagnosis and I reached out to Jen the same day. She messaged me back. And I felt at peace, and I felt like I can do this. I have a whole group of mom and moms that are with there with me, and we're just going to rock it. And it's just been like that since November of 2017, and it'll be that way forever. So
it's beautiful. Yeah. Oh, you guys, thank you so much. Have a great morning. Bye, y'all. Just pay to this one. This is a different question today. Okay. This, and I'm Micah. Did I meet you, Jen?
No.
No. Okay. I just met Carly yesterday. I'm Micah.
Hi, Micah. I'm part of your podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. So I'm walking around today, getting I just want to get honest answers. I want this to be a really honest episode about things that I think we're kind of afraid to talk about in our community sometimes. Yesterday, when I was getting good news from people, I was asking, and there were times when I would get things from people that would kind of feel like a punch in the gut, like, I'm celebrating that my three-year-old is fully potty trained, or like, my kid is fully included and can do everything that everybody else is doing. And like those feelings of like, yeah, that's not where my kid's at. And sometimes I think in the Down syndrome community, there can be this hierarchy of like, these are the kids that are really good at having Down syndrome. These are the kids who are not representing our community the way that, or whatever, to fight for inclusion. We want these kids over here who can really represent us. Do you know what I'm saying? And I wonder what, like, how you guys deal with those feelings of comparison. Because I know for me, I don't struggle with comparing my son to his typical peers. That's not like a, that doesn't come up for me that much. I'm kind of moved past that. But it is hard when I'm in with other families with Down syndrome to either compare and go, oh, at least, you know, at least he's doing this thing and that kid's not like not there yet. Or to be like, man, my kid is not where this kid is. How do you handle your like that struggle to compare? And also, how do you define success for your child? It's a big question. Tell me your first name. Your first name and your child's first name and how old they are.
Okay. I'm Jen, and my daughter is Adeline. She's 4. For success, for her, in her eyes, when she accomplishes something, she gets so excited. And I have to remember that even though I wish we were potty trained, like her older siblings were at 4 or whatnot, that for her to do that little thing, to bead the string by herself and jump for joy and clap and get so excited, that's success. I see it in her. Even if I forget sometimes that, like, well, that seems so easy, that when I see it through her eyes, it just clicks me back into reality of like, that is huge for her. And I love to watch it through her eyes and see that success, because she knows it. And so if I forget, she will remind me.
That's such a good way to see it. Like that it's, she knows what she's succeeding at.
When any of us finish our dinner, because feeding is really hard for her. So it's a huge deal when she does that and we make a big deal. So anytime my plate is clean at dinner, she's like, yay, mommy! And like, or anything like that. And it's just, she reminds me. That's all, yeah.
That's so great. Thank you, Jen. I love that. What do you think, Carla? No, nothing for you? Okay. Thank you so much, you guys. I really appreciate talking about this.
My name's Hannah, and my child is Juliana, who is 6. I think that comparison, like jealousy, is definitely something that I have struggled with on and off through the years. For me, something big to remember is I try to stay off social media about that kind of things, which feels very weird to say while I'm at a DSDN conference. but I think it's just one of those where you see the highlight reel and you don't see the work that went behind it or the other things that that child struggles with. Like, that child may be amazing at speech, but struggling with gross motor and all of those things. And so I think it's easy to not see that, the behind. And I just try to remember that there always is a behind. You know, my child is one that is really successful in some things and really, you know, she struggles a lot with speech. And so I'm aware of that tension because I know I've had friends who have expressed to me how they're jealous of something sometimes. And I'm like, you don't see the other things that we're struggling so hard with because you're focused on the one deficiency that you see as my child being really well with. And so I think there's just so much behind it for all of us because there's so many facets for all of our kids, and just trying to remember that the highlight reel is not always the truth, even as much as it is a gut punch when you see it for somebody else, when it's something that your kid is really struggling with.
That's so good. And I love that the highlight reel as the example, because it's so true. Like, social media is curated and you're choosing what looks pretty. Even those of us who are, you know, trying to be authentic and trying to give a picture to the world, but it's still, you're choosing what's prettiest.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, obviously on social media, those of you who choose to be a little bit more public, you're not sharing your whole life. Like, you keep something private to yourself. Like, because I just noticed I'm very lucky that I have two really close friends who live local to me, who have kids about the same age as mine with Down syndrome. And I don't have the same thing with them. And it's partly because I know their whole story. Yes. I'm part of their whole story. I'm not just part of the highlight reel. Yes. And so I don't have the same struggles with them as I do sometimes. Or even like for DSDN, we have our small birth groups. And so I've been in a birth group with the same 150 moms since I was pregnant. There were some of us pregnant together, and now our kids are 6 and 7. And I don't struggle as much with those moms either, because we've been on this journey for 7 years together. I've seen the ups and I've seen the downs for a lot of their kids. And so I know, like, I can celebrate their wins so much more genuinely with them because I've seen the losses too.
I love that. It's so, I mean, I just think the wisdom there is so rich, and the reality that, like, social media has so much to give us, but it is never a full picture, and it's never a full human relationship. Like, those look different, and we have to go to social media with those eyes on and talk to ourselves about what we're seeing and what we're feeling when we see it.
Yeah, it's much easier to celebrate somebody's win when you just remember that, like, you didn't see the, nobody publicizes the loss. Nobody puts on Facebook, it's been 6 years and my kid is still unintelligible with speech. Right. Nobody says that because it's not fun. And, you know, maybe you post like a vulnerable, like, we're still really struggling with this post. But even then, like, that's my everyday life that not everybody can understand my child talk. So I don't talk about that a ton with people. I post the wins and celebrate the wins. So
I appreciate this so much, Hannah. This is really helpful. Thank you.
Micah, do you mind if we get a picture of them real
fast? Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
And then we can do that.
Go for it. Thanks, guys.
Oh, you got them.
It can be the struggle to compare and to think, like, I'm kind of embarrassed to talk about what my kid's doing because this person's kid is doing all this. And also just the internal, like, I can on the outside celebrate with you, but on the inside, I'm still going to have that inner dialogue of, like, you know, what am I doing wrong? Or what new therapy do I need to sign up for? Or, like, just the hard things of that. So my question is, how do you talk to yourself about that? Like, how do you define success for you and your child? And how do you talk to yourself when you're feeling that comparison game going on in your mind? So it's a big question, But, and all I want is just honest answers. I think for what I want in this episode is just for our listeners to be able to go, okay, yeah, I can like take a deep breath. We're all doing this. It's just hard. And this is what other moms feel. So that's my question. How do you deal with the comparison thing? And what does success mean to you? Who would like to go?
Okay, so I'm Tana, and my little one is 2.5, and his name is Nathaniel. And I love that phrase that says, comparisons are the thief of joy. And I've been like working so hard on not comparing my kid to any other. I don't like comparison since before I was a mother, because I think it always, like comparing me and my sister was always hard on her or me. So my mother was super good at not doing that. So I try to do that. I think society is so, that's such a strong, you know, it's embedded in society, like the comparisons, like who has the best car, who has the best house and all that kind of stuff. But I talk to myself and I say, he's making progress, you know, as long as he's on his own path, he's making progress. That makes me happy, you know, because I know he works hard for like getting to walk, getting to talk. So every word we celebrate it. And that's how I deal with it. And I just try to stay on a positive note and happy about his progress. That's how I do it.
It's really good. Thank you so much.
My name is Kale. I have a little boy who's 2, and his name is Cannon. And the biggest thing that I can just say about comparison is comparing it. It always, I don't know, it gives me anxiety to compare. And I always believe that you run your race at your own pace. So I just be optimistic. I'm optimistic about the future. Even when we reach little hurdles and everything, I mean, I just look on the bright side. I try not to let it affect me. And I have days where I feel like, oh my gosh, I have a handicapped child. I don't know what I'm gonna do. The fear of the unknown, that is the biggest thing that people face in life. And just to rid myself of that uneasiness, I just pray about it. I've gotten into meditation and I'm looking on the bright side. When I see Cannon and he's thriving, he's moving around, he doesn't have any major complications and stuff. And then being here at this retreat, seeing other moms, they have heart surgeries and stuff. And I just feel for them and they're just so strong. And I'm so inspired by this. And everything is, it's really great. And we were chosen. We are the lucky few.
Kel, I love that so much. And I think you're so right. You can either be at an event like this and see what other people are going through that's hard and like choose to like empathize with them, or be at an event like this and see the other people whose kids are doing what your kids aren't, and then feel sorry for yourself. And it is such a mindset, right?
It's definitely a mindset, but you have to figure out how to revert that energy and redirect yourself and just continue to push forward, because I mean, only you can be the change. Only you can be the change.
I love what you said about prayer too, of like, because I feel like that's what prayer does for me, is remind me that this is the moment. Like, everything that I am anxious about is the future. Like, I can't control whether or not my kid is going to be talking when they're 20. I can control, I mean, I can celebrate right now the steps we're taking in communication, right? And there's so many things like that. But it's just, it does not help to jump ahead. It helps to be present and to, like what you said, meditate, pray, like, help yourself slow down inside.
Live for today and be present in the moment. Because when you start thinking about the future or too much of the past, that's when all the anxiousness and attention arise. But be present in the moment. If it's good now, let it be good now. And just worry about everything else later. Don't put that on your plate until that time comes. So,
Kale, I wish I could have you like an app with you telling me in the moments. I'll turn on Kale's voice and she could tell me it's okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate talking to you.
I appreciate it.
Thanks. Okay. All right. See you later. How do you deal with that comparison, like when it rises up in you? How do you talk to yourself about it? And what does success mean to you for your kid? Are you like rewriting that narrative for yourself constantly? Are you, is it a question that you're, do you feel like comparison is a thing that you are wrestling with? And if it is, what do you do about it?
So I'm Sarah. My son Jack is 7. And we were kind of talking about this last night because, you know, my son at 7 doesn't speak a lot of words. He's not reading. And when I see like somebody post something of their child reading, I'm like, oh, what have I done wrong? And like you immediately go to, what did I do wrong, in the guilt? But in talking last night to like, you know, I think what helps me is to bring it up and to put it out there and say, this is what I'm struggling with. This is the guilt. And having my friends say to me, like, we shouldn't even be comparing because there are so many differences in like educational choices, therapy choices, and just between the genders of a boy and a girl, and they are maturing differently. And so I think for me, it helps to just put it out there and say what it is so that I can name it and leave it behind and try to move forward and just celebrate my kid for where he is, really.
I love that. And I think there's so much to be said for, I was talking to somebody else about this, for like real physical community, because if our community is just online, you're getting a curated picture of that person's child. And just to have friends that you can say, this is how I feel, and let's talk it out. And to be reminded that everybody's kids are succeeding in some areas and struggling in others. And it's all going to look different.
For sure. And to say the things that Jack's good at, he's really good at his bedtime routine. He'll go to bed easy now. We worked really hard on this for many, many months, and now he can do it. And me thinking, well, that's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. And that's something we picked that was important to us. And to know that we can look at other goals and say, okay, what's our next goal? We just have to work hard and keep going, and we'll see the progress. So it does help.
I think in life too, just in general, to celebrate goals accomplished, it's so hard. You just like move on to the next thing. The other day I was sitting at the table with my 6-year-old son with Down syndrome, and he took a big drink and put his cup down. And my husband was like, let's just recognize that he put his cup down, and he hasn't thrown his cup in like 5 months. And how many years did he throw his cup every time he took a drink? And we worked so hard with the smiley face sticker on the table, you know, like all those things. And then our kid gets it, and we move on so quick without being like, wow, this is amazing. He's doing this thing and he's still doing it.
Yeah. We forget sometimes. I have a 5-year-old, typically developing, who we were having take the recycling out to the bin. And Jack just jumped up and was like, okay, it's time to do the recycling. We forgot, like, we should have Jack do that too. Like, why didn't we just do that all along? But we forget that, like, he sees the things that we do and wants to do them. And it's just beautiful to, like, see that. Like, he's doing a chore. That's amazing. Yeah.
That's so awesome. Thank you so much. Do you want to share anything?
Yes, I'm Angela, and my daughter Elena is 7 with Down syndrome. And I think with comparison, like we were saying, it's just so hard because we finally reached that goal. And now what's next? What's next? What's next? So just to sit in the moment. And I will say my husband's a lot better at celebrating these things and just being okay, where maybe it's because I'm online more, or I talk to friends more who have kids, but he will just be like, remember where we were not long ago. Like, you know, when she was a baby and she had just had heart surgery, we were able to say, well, she's not at that stage yet because she was in the hospital for a long time. And then you have a couple years where things are kind of have plateaued, and it seems like we're not going as far. But then you look back and you're like, no, she has actually come a long ways. Remember when we would have to carry her into school, and now she's walking independently, and, you know, she doesn't have to have her hand held everywhere. We don't have to stop and like be careful to step over a curb. She can just walk past it where she would put her hands down and climb over it, you know? So we have to just think, okay, our kids, of course they get there, maybe not everything, but it does take some time. And so we just have to remember to give them grace and ourselves and look back at all they have accomplished and just celebrate those things. So it's hard sometimes, but it's all the more worth celebrating because they worked really so much harder at it. So
I love that. I feel like this whole conversation is so interesting. All the people I've talked to, I feel like this conversation has kind of gone full circle and ended with celebrating what is there. And I think that's so beautiful. Such a good place for me to stop this episode, because this is what it is. Like, we work so hard with our kids, and they are working so hard. And the things that they accomplish, they're accomplishing at their own pace. And our job is to celebrate it. And I think if we can do that, and if we can stay present and we can be grateful, it's like a whole different world. So thanks, ladies. This is awesome. All right. I love hearing people just share from their hearts. I love hearing, this is a complicated question.
Yeah.
And it was really special to hear from different women who are working through it in different ways.
Yeah. I love it. And a shout out to people with Down syndrome who have given me the opportunity to ask these questions in a way that I think is so meaningful for me and everybody we are in proximity to. What a great shift in my life to get to ask this question. I don't even know that people know to ask it.
That's right.
Right? Or challenge it. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people feel under the pressure of what success is in their life, especially given today's culture. And there's like this weight, and they don't even know, oh, you don't have to have that. You can actually, you can question it. You can question it. So thanks Mason and August for changing my life. And then it's time for good news.
Yeah, it is. So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with some good news.
Time for good news, time for good news. Everybody, welcome to the good news. Yeah, yeah.
All right, do we have anything celebrating? Anything we're celebrating?
Well, we have some good news from a listener. And this is from Erinie2. And Erinie2 says, I've been waiting for this post since last week. I have been so excited because last week, my girl, not my daughter, but I've worked with her and I've loved her for almost a year, years now. But anyway, this past Saturday, we went to Chick-fil-A, and for the first time ever, she actually sat down in a restaurant and ate the food from the restaurant. This was so big and will hopefully open up a new world of opportunities and being able to be a part of going out to eat with the family.
No, it's great.
So great. That is some good news. Thank you so much, Erinie2, for sharing. Also, if you could email hello@theluckyfewpodcast.com and tell me more. I want to know your relation. I want to know about this.
Yes. Sounds like a little adoptive auntie
situation,
which I love.
All right, friends. So good. Love hearing that good news. If you have good news that you want to share, then you can email hello@theluckyfewpodcast.com. You can go over to Instagram, The Lucky Few Pod, and send us a direct message or a comment with your good news. We would love to share it here on the podcast. And thank you, Josh Avis, for editing this episode, and Val Schleter for producing it, and all you rockin' moms for sharing with us today.
Yeah. And if you liked this episode, friends, don't forget to share it with your family and friends, and don't forget to subscribe. What else? Yes, check out theluckyfewpodcast.com for show notes and all the things we talked about today.
And then also make sure you are following along on social media, The Lucky Few Pod. You get a lot of good information there, and we love to engage with you guys in the comment section. And then listener, all of you listening, you're slaying it. We love you so much. We are here cheering you on always, and we can't wait to be together for another episode next week. And we'll see you then, or be together then.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Did it.